This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Cherry Hill Volvo is honored to sponsor the Rich Zeoli podcast. We thank Rich for informing and entertaining all of us. Rich Zeoli, 1210 Talk Radio and Cherry Hill Volvo, an absolutely amazing team.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Zeoli podcast.
The tech hearing yesterday, the tech giants before Congress. What do we want the government doing about any potential censorship issues? The teachers unions once again calling the shots. How do we make schools more fair and free? Welcome back. Glad you're here on Twitter at Rich Zeoli, Facebook.com/Zeoli Show. Great to have you with us. Eric Beam is back. He writes for Reason.com, and he was posting a lot yesterday about the tech hearings yesterday. Hey, Eric, welcome back to the show. You're a local guy, so we appreciate you making time back for your old city of Philadelphia. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Glad to be here.
So give us your overall thoughts on how you think the tech hearings went yesterday.
It was a bit of a clown parade, I think, right? I mean, they could have had a whole circus in there. There were enough clowns. The whole thing was kind of ridiculous right from the start. And I think it was really a disservice to anybody who tuned in, anybody who, you know, maybe does have sincere concerns about the antitrust issues that may be present. I'm a bit skeptical of that in general, but I mean, I think there are some things that could be seriously investigated, you know, that Google or Amazon, some of these companies may be involved in. But it just so quickly devolved into an airing of petty grievances of lawmakers complaining about one congressman from Florida complained about how his campaign emails end up in his father's spam folder. And this is somehow Google's fault because his dad uses a Gmail account. And I mean, it's like, Congressman, first of all, your campaign emails are the definition of spam. So, like, Google is doing the right thing there. But it's also that, like, this is just not the forum for that. And it became that. It became complaints about shadow banning. It became complaints about Facebook, you know, supposedly target Democrats think Facebook is promoting Republicans. Republicans think Facebook is banning conservative groups. And it's just like that's not what an antitrust hearing is about. Maybe some of those issues are legitimate. Maybe some of those issues are things that need to be discussed. But it's not the sort of thing that the federal government needs to be spending its time or threatening to wield its hammer against these companies, you know, for doing.
Yeah, and I laughed at Jerry Nadler trying to badger Mark Zuckerberg over the purchase of Instagram, as if all these tech company purchases are guaranteed wins and that there's never a social media company that goes belly up or anything. It's just a guaranteed home run. How dare they buy a company?
Yeah, that's the other thing, right, is that once you got past the sort of the basic petty grievances that some lawmakers were going after, even the things that may have looked like more serious issues, like, oh, here's Facebook buying up one of its biggest competitors. Okay, that at least, I think, to people who have a passing understanding of what antitrust laws do, right, like, okay, maybe there's something to that. But then you stop and you think about it, and it's like, well wait a minute. Okay, Facebook bought Instagram. There are dozens of other applications out there for people to use to connect with friends, to share photos. I think Mark Zuckerberg at one point, I think it was him, one of the tech CEOs at one point, said that, you know, to one of the congressmen, said you can pull out your phone right now and you probably have a number of Facebook competitors installed on your phone. Like, the idea that one company buying up one of its competitors somehow makes that company a monopoly is just somewhat absurd on its face, especially when we're talking about the internet, where, you know, if you open your phone or turn on your computer, you can go to any website you want. You can use any application you want. Yes, some are bigger and more successful than others. That doesn't make them monopolies, and that doesn't trigger government antitrust action, or it shouldn't trigger government antitrust action.
Yeah, I mean, Nadler was comparing this to like the railroads in the early yep. part of the 1900s. And that's important to note about antitrust, right? It's not a question of how big a company is. It's about the consumer experience. Do consumers have choices in the marketplace? That's the standard, as far as I understand it, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There are actually a number of things that you have to hit in antitrust law. I mean, I don't want to bore your listeners, but there's actually like a number of standards that you have to hit. That's the most important one, is that like consumers have to be actively harmed by a lack of choices in the market. The example that I used in the piece that I wrote yesterday is like, let's say you're a farmer in a small town in Ohio in the 1890s, right? There's only one railroad that physically comes through your town. And so you are, to some extent, I mean, you have other options for getting goods to the East Coast or something. But if you want to ship something to Philadelphia, you're kind of beholden to whatever service and whatever prices the railroad wants to offer. And that's the sort of situation that Congress, saw. Railroads were colluding. Railroads were buying each other up. There were just not enough options in the market. I think it's even now it remains somewhat debatable whether the actions the federal government took then were appropriate or not. But I think there's like a pretty cut and dry case, what we think of as a historical example of the robber barons and antitrust law and Teddy Roosevelt, right, coming in and busting all that up. That's obviously not the case with the internet. Like, if you're a farmer in Ohio and you want to use Facebook or Instagram, you can just as easily use one of their competitors like Snapchat or TikTok. You probably shouldn't use TikTok, but I mean, just as an argument, like, it's out there, right? Like, it's an alternative. And there are plenty of others, too. I mean, Twitter is obviously another independent social media. There's, any sort of website. And there will be more. I think the lesson of tech of the last 20 years is that there's sort of a constant churn and turnover. These four companies, most of them didn't even exist. They certainly didn't exist in their current form 20 years ago. None of them were the dominant players that they are today 10 years ago. And I think, like what's happened to the Microsofts and the IBMs of the world, they're no longer the dominant players in the tech sphere. So I think a marketplace that is free and that allows, for new businesses to come along and challenge the incumbents will always be better than one that the government gets involved in and tries to regulate.
Eric Beam is a writer for Reason.com, and he was covering the hearings yesterday. I'm glad he's making the time for us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Eric, but free speech, I mean, there's a lot of questions regarding these big tech sure. platforms. What's that?
Yeah, no, sure. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I thought there's a lot of questions regarding that in terms of tech platforms, possibly censoring speech, and then the government protections that they get in terms of liability over people that post on their platforms. How do we balance a free marketplace, government protections, and ensuring that if I post something controversial to Facebook, Facebook won't necessarily take it down?
Yeah, that's really, the more important issue and the issue that Congress is ultimately trying to get to, and they're using this antitrust route to get there, which is, in my opinion, a mistake. The real crux of this debate has to do with a law that was passed in the 1990s that basically says the internet platforms are shielded from liability from anything that users post on there. And that's something that Congress is now, interested in going after or trying to carve out certain exemptions, remove certain exemptions. That's ultimately where this debate is going to end up in Congress. I think that is really tricky, and I'm skeptical of the idea that we should be carving away at that law, because it's effectively the First Amendment for the internet. It's effectively the thing that protects, your right to post whatever you want on Facebook or in a comment section on a news article. And I think conservatives in particular are really, interested in it. And you could see this in yesterday's hearing, because most of the Republicans in the room were bringing up those types of examples when they had the opportunity to question Zuckerberg and the rest of them. But I think this really backfires on conservatives pretty quickly, because if you start to say these platforms have to operate, in a way that restricts certain content or that rules certain things out of bounds, I don't think it's ultimately going to be conservatives who are making the call about what is okay and what isn't.
I agree, and they got to be very careful here, because you heard them say yesterday, I mean, hate speech, for example. Zuckerberg would love to make sure there's no hate speech on his platforms. Conservatives have to be careful because it seems like if a guy like Zuckerberg is deciding what hate speech is or isn't, my bet is a lot of conservative ideas would probably be in that category. And you got to be really careful about wanting the government to jump in there, because I feel like a lot of people in government would love to pass a federal anti-hate speech statute. But, you know, again, would you want Nancy Pelosi and Jerry Nadler coming up with the language of that?
Right. Or, I mean, you look back even just in the history of radio, right, Rich? I mean, you've got the fairness doctrine. Like, when that went away, that opened up the airwaves for more conservative opinions, honestly, online, like that, or from, you know, in the radio world. Right. And I think that's the same sort of thing. If you reimpose a sort of fairness doctrine of some sort on online content, you know, I don't think that ends up shaking out the way that the Josh Hawleys of the world think it will. I think it may very well backfire on liberals, too. Anytime you start carving away at free speech protections, whether it's the First Amendment or whether it's sort of, laws like this one that protects, you know, free speech online, that is really just, you can think of it as like a little First Amendment. Once you start carving away at those things, I think you end up in places where you don't necessarily want to go.
Eric Beam, before I let you go, you also write a lot about unions and that sort of thing. And, you know, I see the teachers unions, for example, right now, they are just running the table here on a lot of these decisions that are being made in states. You want to talk about a monopoly. I mean, schools are one of the biggest monopolies, and trying to compete against schools is incredibly difficult to do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We're making some progress in against that monopoly with school choice initiatives in a bunch of different states. I think maybe the best example of this is about a week ago, the United Teachers in Los Angeles, that's the union that represents most of the teachers in what's actually the second largest school district in the country, they are now saying that they want, as a condition of reopening schools during the pandemic, they want the Los Angeles school district to put a moratorium on new charter schools. They want a whole bunch of other things that, like, the city of Los Angeles can't even, doesn't even have the power to grant. They want a new state-level wealth tax on Californians. They want a federal bailout of the Los Angeles School District, which is in all sorts of financial trouble, sort of along the same lines as what's going on in Philadelphia. There's also a coalition of teachers unions from about, I think it's 10, maybe 12 different cities now have signed on to this, that are demanding passage of Medicare for All. A bunch of other sort of federal legislation before they would agree to reopen schools. And it just seems like this, you know, this is not the appropriate way to go about that, kind of like the same way that Congress going about antitrust legislation is the wrong way to attack big tech firms, saying that, hey, we can't safely educate kids in the middle of a pandemic until we have a wealth tax. I don't know. I don't see how those two things connect, except maybe you just want a wealth tax and you're using this as an excuse to get it.
Yeah, exactly right. Well said. Hey, speaking of bailouts, you read the most recent stimulus bill that's on Capitol Hill right now that's going around. Give us kind of the 30,000 foot overview of what that bill is looking like.
Yeah, it's another huge round of checks for all Americans. We're going to each, I guess I should preface all this by saying yesterday it looks like negotiations over this bill kind of fell apart in the background while everybody was paying attention to that tech hearing. It looks like we're maybe weeks away from anything actually getting passed. The bill, as the Senate Republicans proposed it earlier this week, would include another round of $1,200 checks for more or less all Americans. That phases out for people at higher income levels, $500 for dependents as well. And then you would also have an extension of the bonus unemployment insurance. Everybody right now who's been unemployed since March has been getting an extra $600 per week in federal money on top of whatever you're qualifying for through your state unemployment. That would go down to $200 per week, but it wouldn't go away completely. Although if they don't get anything passed by the end of the month, then that will go away completely because that $600 bonus expires on July 31st. And as I said, it doesn't look like anything is going to get passed at this moment. There's also a whole ton of goodies in there. My colleague Christian Bridgeke dove into this part of the bill. A ton of goodies in there for the military, more than $1 billion, several billion dollars actually, for like new fighter jets and helicopters and missiles. This is like a way to get the Pentagon back some of the money that Trump took from the Pentagon to use to build his border wall. And since the theme of our morning's discussion seems to be like, hey, guys, this is just not the right time to be doing that thing or the right way to be doing that thing, it seems like this is not really the right way to be doing that thing. Maybe the military needs that money. It shouldn't be in a stimulus bill. It shouldn't be in a coronavirus response bill, because that doesn't really have much to do with keeping Americans, you know, employed or able to make their, you know, rent payments every month.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. Whenever they start taking these giant bills and then they just start throwing spending in there, they throw in the store, it becomes so incredibly frustrating. And then, yep. You know, that's the problem. I mean, you know, these fighter jets might be something they need, but then do a separate bill on that. That's what I would say without a doubt. Hey, Eric, thanks so much for coming on the show and breaking this down for us. I appreciate it. Eric is a writer at Reason.com. I'll post a link to his latest piece, Congress Used the Antitrust Hearing to Peddle Petty Grievances Against Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google. Eric, thanks so much, buddy.
Always good to be there in Philly.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right. So as you heard Dawn tease in her news, we have the Governor Phil Murphy's Knucklehead Hall of Fame, which is now a thing, which is coming out there. I didn't know there was a Knucklehead Hall of Fame. I wish I did, because honestly, I feel like I should get a trophy. You know?
Yeah. Who would be on the trophy, like an Emmy Award? So if this is a Knucklehead Hall of Fame, would the governor's image be, or whose image would be on the Knucklehead Hall of Fame?
The governor's
statue?
Big toothy image, that bad Michael Keaton look that he has, that would be on that right there, a big smile. Here's the audio of Phil Murphy giving out the we should do an award. Like, remember they used to do like the Razzies and things like that. They
yes.
used to do. Remember they used to have that
when
stuff.
We had movies.
Yeah. Cut 13.
There was a party, we refer to this, on Long Beach Island, which has now sidelined nearly three dozen lifeguards from Harvey Cedars and Surf City who have tested positive. And we spoke about this on Monday. There was the massive house party in Jackson that had an estimated 700 people, and which took nearly the entire Jackson Township police force, plus help from state police and other jurisdictions, to break up. And we don't even know yet how many coronavirus cases may ultimately be the outcome of that out-of-control party. But Judy, you think many, I believe, right? So yes, it's hot. Yes, it's summer. Yes, we all want, and in many cases need, to blow off some steam. But this is no time for anyone to be vying for induction into the Knucklehead Hall of Fame. And unfortunately, all of the above instances qualify.
But Governor, I want to be in the Knucklehead Hall of Fame. It's my dream. It was in my yearbook. All right. The King's Knucklehead Hall of Fame. I like it. What do you think, Dawn? Do you think, is that something your kids should aspire to?
No, but I thought it was really funny.
Don't be in the
funny.
What about the Jackass Hall of Fame? Do we have that?
Not yet.
When does that come?
Yeah,
is
what's
my question.
Worse?
All right. Well, you know, I mean, you got to have a dream. You got to have a goal in life, right? Everybody's got to have a goal. If you don't have a goal or a dream, you die. Isn't the line from Pretty Woman? If you don't have a dream, you die. One day I hope to achieve the Knucklehead. I think the governor considers me a knucklehead just for the fact of what I say on the radio. So I'm sure I'm deep down in his heart in the Knucklehead Hall of Fame.
You're a contender.
Yeah,
I'm
definitely.
Hall of Fame.
There's no doubt in my mind I am, right?
I love
Remember,
it.
We are New Jersey. So to all the jackasses out there and all the knuckleheads out there, get with the program. We will not relent until we have 100% compliance.
It's good to be the king.
I have no regrets.
What can I tell you? Right there. Now, the question, of course, of what's next in all this, and will there be more lockdowns? There was a segment on MSNBC yesterday. See, I watch this stuff for you, so you don't have to, but I know what they're saying, and I can bring that to you because I take the time to listen to this nonsense. On MSNBC yesterday, the very, very depressed Nicole Wallace had on a doctor who was discussing what should happen, and she and Brian Williams going back and forth. And then I believe the doctor was also on with Chuck Todd on Meet the Press Daily. Meet the Press, if you can't wait till Sunday to get your Meet the Press fix, you have Meet the Press Daily. And I'm proposing Meet the Press Hourly, because I can't wait to just have it once a day. I need it every hour on the hour. So Meet the Press Hourly. This is Dr. Kavita Patel. Cut 10.
We now know, and now the fear that even a mild case of this virus could lead to long-term health impacts
Would you be recommending a shelter in place in these hotspots at this point?
I think it's got to be considered, yes. Now, I say that knowing the serious gravity with which the implications of that on working families, et cetera. But, Chuck, we got here because we're not taking it seriously. We've had no national strategy, as you pointed out. And on top of that, we are never going to do any sort of economic recovery if people just don't feel safe. So I do think it has to be considered. But again, it would be also be really nice, Chuck. We keep talking about testing when I talk to you. It'd be nice if some of us could get our tests back as quickly as Representative Gohmert did. So at this point, I'd be willing to take a day or two. But we're, you know, it's hard to see how you get ahead of this without putting into place that type of infrastructure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't
yeah.
get April back. That's the big thing. The time machine is, I guess, what we're missing at this point. Anyway.
What the hell are you talking about? So so there you go. Another potential lockdown coming on the way. So, you know, we got that going for us, which is nice. I tell you, yesterday, the Pennsylvania Intergalactic Sports Association decided that the kids will play sports.
Yes.
Of course, that depends on two factors. One, kids going back to school in physical classrooms. And number two, Governor Tom Wolf not shutting down Pennsylvania again.
Well, I'm looking that up because they released this long document. So they do have a provision in there that even if schools went to total online learning, they could still have a provision where the students would be social distancing. They would they have all kinds of provisions. So they said that there's a scenario by which kids could still play their sports.
Even if they were not in physical classrooms.
Right. That's what it says.
Really?
I think that would be very tricky. Like, my kids' schools are meeting next week, August 6th, to talk about all of this.
Yeah.
I think it would be tricky because they're going against the governor. And I'm curious about that. But they say they could do it.
You know, typically when they send kids to just do the virtual, that means there's no coming back to do the school play or sports or chess club or any of that stuff, right? I mean,
right.
That's how I would interpret it, wouldn't you?
Right, but even when we were in red, so my youngest son still had his little Lion King Jr. play, so the school worked around it, had it at a private venue outside, at all the parents 6 feet away, and this was an outside venue. So there are ways to get around this because we are allowed outside venues if we social distance with a certain amount of people.
Yeah, you're lucky you're in Pennsylvania because I feel like you've got a little bit more leeway with private schools there versus in Jersey when Murphy shuts everything down, he just shuts everything down. You know, at least Tom Wolf gives these counties, you know, there's red light, green light, yellow light, but in Jersey it's all red. It's either all red or it's all yellow. There's no, you know, it's not like Bergen County is different from Burlington County, so everybody's treated the same. And that becomes very frustrating to people. So at least you got that going for you, Dawn, which is good.
Which is nice. That's true.
You know, you keep that hope alive
there.
That's important.
I am. I'm keeping it alive because I do think that kids, you know, look, we all are sick of this and not to make light of it. It's a serious situation, especially for those with underlying conditions. But I just think where there's a will, there's a way. And as Murphy said in his own words, truthfully, if everybody's really smart about it and social distances and does all this, we can, you know, flatten this curve and continue on with our lives.
Well, you wear a mask and you wear goggles, you wear a head-to-toe scuba suit. Here's that Dr. Fauci on wearing goggles or eye shields or something to give you ladies a nice look. Cut 14.
I think we're going to get to a point where eye protection is recommended.
You know, it might. I mean, if you really want perfect protection of your mucosal surfaces, just for your audience,
mucosals.
Jen, as you very well know, you have mucosa in the nose, mucosa in the
those
mouth.
Those are the gozerian.
You also have mucosa in the eye. And that's one of the things that, you know, theoretically, you should protect all the mucosal surfaces. So if you have goggles or an eye shield, you should use it. I mean, it's not universally recommended.
I mean, who doesn't have goggles just lying around your house? Just bring out your goggles and wear them. What's the big deal? You've got goggles, go get them. If you don't have goggles, go to goggles.com and get yourself a pair of goggles. That's all. It's a good look for everybody, I think. Come on, you know?
Well, It'll probably be definitely the next thing to sell. I just think now, what is it, Bucks County, Pennsylvania schools, they look brilliant because they had said they're going to give out those clear face shields to every student.
Which cover the eyes. I'm going with a 1950s scuba suit. You know those old school kinds they had a drill on? That you use like bolt connectors to get on? That's what I'm going with. It's like 700 pounds. It's pure steel.
That's what
I'm going to go with. I'm going to walk around that. Maybe I'll wear a knight's outfit. Can I do that?
That would be
just
awesome.
Just go old school medieval knight.
But you'd still, the knights, did they really, they had the still had the eye slats. So your mucus areas would still be exposed.
Yeah, but not the knight on A Game of Thrones, right? You couldn't see his face at all, could
that's
you?
Well, that's true.
There you go. I'll be like that guy.
I don't even remember his name.
I'll be like him, and you won't. I'll just be in. I'll be an entire head to toe suit of armor.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, what do you want? I mean, what do you want? I don't know. I don't know what you want, but if you got goggles lying around or a face mask, put them on in your oxygen tank, and you know, go to the mall, and you'll be fine. And oh man, it's getting more and more difficult to just leave the house these days. Holy cow! All right, 855-839-1210.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you, Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, excellent. Great to have you with us today. The tech hearings yesterday were, there was a lot of nonsense that came out of them, as you can imagine. And one of the moments that I thought was particularly amazing yesterday during this was, the whole idea of this video being banned on Twitter, these doctors talking about hydroxychloroquine. Now, I tweeted out the other day, I'm not either for or against the video. I'm just against censorship. I don't think it works to take things down. The marketplace of ideas, when you block something, the tendency of people to want to see it goes up. I mean, that's just, you know, when Tipper Gore was trying to censor music, then people wanted to hear that music. That's just how it works. People want to listen to and watch the things they can't. They're not allowed to see. It's just a human instinct. The other thing too is that it makes it look like it's serious. Like in other words, if you ban it, then people think, why are they banning it? What are they afraid of? Versus if you just let it out there, then people may not even take it nearly as seriously as they otherwise would if they go, this is so dangerous and shocking, it's been banned. I mean, how many times have you heard people use that as a marketing point? Right? What they won't let you know, what they won't tell you. And they always act like it's you versus them and they're blocking you from getting the truth on something. People hear that and they have a tendency then to want to learn about it. And that's the problem when you start taking things down. And that is why I don't agree with taking things down. I agree with the marketplace of ideas battling it out. And then there you go. So Representative Sensenbrenner, who first thought it was, he confused Facebook and Twitter as he was discussing this with Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg. And this is the exchange. And I might stop it a little bit here, but cut eight.
It was reported that Donald Trump Jr. got taken down for a period of time because he put something up on the efficacy of hydroxychloroquine. Now, I wouldn't take it myself, but there still is a debate on whether it is effective either in treating or preventing COVID-19. And I think that this is a legitimate matter of discussion, and it would be up to a patient and their doctor to determine whether hydroxychloroquine was the correct medication, given the circumstances. Why did that happen?
Congressman, well, first, to be clear, I think what you might be referring to happened on Twitter, so it's hard for me to speak to that. But I can talk to our policies about this. We do prohibit content that will lead to imminent risk of harm. And stating that there's a proven cure for COVID when there is, in fact, none might encourage someone to go take something that could have some adverse effects. So we do take that down. We do not prohibit discussion around trials of drugs or people saying that they think that things might work or personal experiences with experimental drugs. But if someone is going to say that something is proven when in fact it is not, that could lead people.
Wouldn't that be up for somebody on the other side of the issue to say that this is not proven? And, you know, I know as a fact that, you know, for people with certain conditions, it's contraindicated and they shouldn't take it on that. But wouldn't that be up to somebody else, you know, to say, okay, what somebody posted on this really isn't true, and here's what the facts are, rather than having a Twitter or a Facebook take it down?
Congressman, in general, I agree with you, and we do not want to become the arbiters of truth. I think that would be a bad position for us to be in and not what we should be doing. But on specific claims, if someone is going to go out and say that hydroxychloroquine is proven to cure COVID, when in fact it has not been proven to cure COVID, and that statement could lead people to take a drug that in some cases...
Now, let's stop it right there. So the problem with Mark Zuckerberg's premise here is that you can just go out and take it. Still requires a doctor's prescription to take it. So you could go to your doctor and say to your doctor, hey, doc, I saw a video on Facebook or YouTube, and they said that this is the cure for COVID-19. Your doctor is going to turn around to you and either say, yeah, it really is. It's a secret cure no one's telling you about. Or the doctor's going to turn around and go, nah, it's not proven. I don't want you taking it. Either way, you have to get a prescription for it in order for you to get it. Now, you could obtain it illegally. You could certainly get it on the black market. But is that Facebook's responsibility to stop information on the idea that you may break the law and obtain a drug illegally? No, of course not. That's ridiculous. I mean, there are people that post on Facebook all the time about the benefits of marijuana, right? That marijuana helps you with this or that. And in some cases, you're breaking federal law if you engage in that. But does Facebook take those videos down? I doubt it. Should they take them down? I don't think so. You know, there are people that are making claims out there that, for example, mushrooms, magic mushrooms, will cure psychosis. And there's all kinds of debate on that right now. And does that mean that people then are going to go out and get magic mushrooms? Maybe. Should we not be having the conversation that maybe magic mushrooms and psychotropics are in fact beneficial to dealing with mental illness? Of course we shouldn't have that. We should have that conversation. Of course we should. See, Zuckerberg is trying to split hairs here. He's arguing that to protect you. And this is the mindset of somebody who's on the left. It's that I have to protect you always. I got to protect you from yourself. In order to protect you, an adult, from doing something that hurts you, I've got to limit your ability to learn about something or to gain an opinion on something in order to protect yourself. I don't need Mark Zuckerberg protecting me. I mean, I theoretically need my doctor to protect me from either giving me a script or not giving me a script, right? Because I can't just get it myself. I could buy it on the black market. I could have it imported illegally from China. I could go to Mexico and get it at a pharmacy. Sure, all those things. But that's not really reality, right? What we're talking about is he is trying to explain why they don't want people hearing thoughts on this drug, because for whatever reason, it's been decided that this is the worst thing in the world that you could even discuss this. But doctors have to make that decision, not you as a person. So why can't you as a person engage in the debate on it? I don't know how that hurts anybody. Now, if you want to argue that we're protecting children from things, okay, fine. So then you're limiting things that kids might do. So you're not going to have a discussion about whether or not, you know, you should go out and do something that provides you direct bodily harm. Like kids always do these dumb YouTube challenges and these Facebook challenges. And, you know, if they want to take down those videos because they're saying the kids are watching them and then doing things that hurt themselves, they'd have a better argument there. But this is not a legitimate argument. I mean, Zuckerberg's a smart guy. And I mean, obviously, I don't really think he believes this. I think he's trying to justify why they're all rushing to take this video down. And the consequence of it is all people want to do is watch it, right? That's all they want to do now is watch it. They just want to turn around and go, so what's this all about? Why are they hiding the truth from me? What don't they want me to know? Adults don't need other adults to protect them from the information from the marketplace of ideas. When those ideas are turned into action, there are already protections against you engaging in that action. You can't just go get hydroxychloroquine. You can't just walk into CVS and get it on the shelf. Now, if there's a video out there that says you should start snorting Tylenol, to crush up Tylenol and start snorting it, and they want to take that down because they think that's going to cause people immediate harm because you can go to CVS and get Tylenol, they'd have a better argument. right? Well, kids are watching this, and kids are doing the snort Tylenol challenge, so we took it down because, you know, this is an easy thing to get, and we don't want kids snorting Tylenol. Okay, but these videos are debating a drug that requires a prescription to get. I mean, it'd be like people debating whether or not you should use, a Prozac or something like that. Prozac cures depression. Well, it actually doesn't cure depression. I mean, there's not a single drug out there that claims to cure anything. You realize that, right? There's nothing that cures anything. Drugs treat things. So again, you know, Zuckerberg's argument is when they make claims that hydroxychloroquine is the cure for COVID, that's not true. It's not true for any drug. There's no cure out there for anything. There's treatments for things. You know, an antidepressant treats depression, doesn't cure depression. And certain things prevent viruses. They don't cure the virus. They prevent them. It's all about prevention or treatment. So if somebody's on Facebook saying, I'm telling you right now, Prozac cured my depression. Do you take that down because the person said cured, and then the person might then somebody else watching that might think to, and then go out and take Prozac? And well, again, you still need a doctor to prescribe it for you. So when it goes from thought into action, you already have a protection built in into the law. It's called a prescription by a medical doctor. So I don't, you know what I mean? That's why his logic doesn't work for me. He's trying to justify censorship on the idea that I've got to protect you from yourself, but there are already protections in place for me. I am protected by myself, by all kinds of different things. I can't just call up Maz and go, Maz, I saw this video on the internet. I want hydroxychloroquine. Give me hydroxychloroquine. He's going to tell me no. He's going to say, I'm not giving you hydroxychloroquine. No, no, I really want it. I want to take it as a prevention for COVID. Well, I'm not giving it to you. No, but I saw this video. I don't care that you saw a video. I'm still not giving it to you. Well, I want it. I don't care. Call another doctor. Now, at that point, if I decide to go around him and I go to Mexico and I buy it in a pharmacy down there where you don't need a prescription, or I order it online, or I go to Canada or something like that, well, then I've done something that I'm not supposed to do. But is that, again, Facebook's responsibility to stop debate on something so that I don't break the law and do something I'm not supposed to do and obtain a drug I shouldn't obtain without a prescription? And by the way, not all those examples would you be breaking the law, but you understand my point. It's the spirit of that I'm talking about. Of course not. You don't limit the marketplace of ideas. You just don't do that. It's not a good idea ever. Just finishing up this clip here, Bill, if you could, go ahead.
Some of the data suggests that it might be harmful to people. We think that we should take that down. That could cause imminent risk of harm.
There's data that almost everything is harmful to people. Every drug that runs a commercial on television lists a million side effects. You know, this could cause you runny nose. This could cause your head to explode. This could cause you to, go insane. There's imminent harm from everything in life. Think of how many things that are on Facebook or on Twitter that promote imminent harm. Boating is imminent harm. Swimming has imminent harm. All of these things have imminent harm in some cases if you're not followed properly and correctly. So is Facebook now going to be just a giant safe space where the only thing allowed there are things that definitely don't hurt you? So we don't discuss cars. We don't discuss drugs of any kind, legal or illegal. We don't allow discussions on, say, extreme sports. Because, you know, people can get imminent harm from extreme sports. So we don't allow discussions on that. We don't have that on our platform because you might have imminent harm. So we could be discussing, say, skiing from a plane, and somebody may do that. So therefore, we're not allowing any discussion about skiing from an airplane because people might do it. We're rock climbing, you know, people have died, frozen to death, climbing Mount Everest. So we're not going to allow anybody to talk about Mount Everest because we couldn't have somebody then go out and try to climb Mount Everest and then have imminent death. There was a shark attack and a woman died off Massachusetts. So we can't have any discussion of sharks, swimming, going to the beach, summertime, because you might go in the ocean and get bit by a shark. I mean, where do you draw the line on this is my question. Where do you draw the line? When you start censoring speech and ideas, you run into a place where if you just take it to its logical conclusion, you really can't talk about a damn thing. So what you do is you allow speech and ideas. You allow the people in the marketplace to write back on that video and go, this is crazy. This doctor's a nutbag. You're a nutbag for posting this. And you let people battle it out in the marketplace of ideas. And then if somebody walks away from that discussion going, I really want this drug, They go to their doctor, who's had to go to medical school and residency and pass all kinds of state examinations in order to give you a prescription for that. And then at that point, it's on the doctor. Does this video have some capacity to infiltrate your doctor's mind and gain mind control over your doctor so that your doctor loses his or her ability to make a logical decision on whether or not you should take this drug? Is that what Zuckerberg's argument is? This video is so dangerous and powerful, like in Batman Forever. It's waves, telepathic waves from Jim Carrey as the Riddler, goes into your doctor's brain and controls his thinking so he gives you hydroxychloroquine. That's how powerful this doctor is with her demon sperm and everything else. Is that what we're arguing here? Is that the premise? Or do you watch a video, you come up with an idea, it's either something I think I want to try or not, and then a medical professional makes the ultimate decision for you? I'm just amazed at this kind of paternalistic idea of somebody like Mark Zuckerberg. And I got to think deep down inside, he doesn't really believe this. I have to hope that, because he just, in my mind, seems like too smart of a guy. I got to give him credit, too, by the way. He called out China yesterday. He was the only tech CEO to unequivocally say China is stealing American technology, which, in fact, they are, by the way. No doubt about that. Here's cut number 9.
Yes or no answer. Do you believe that the Chinese government steals technology from U.S. companies? Start with Mr. Cook.
I don't know of specific cases where we have been stolen from by the government.
So you don't believe that the Chinese government's stealing technology from U.S. companies? Or you're just saying that not from yours?
I'm saying I know of no case on ours where it occurred. Which is, I can only speak to firsthand knowledge.
Mr. Pichai, do you believe that the Chinese government steals technology from United States companies?
Congressman, I have no firsthand knowledge of any information stolen from Google in this regard.
Mr. Zuckerberg?
Congressman, I think it's well documented that the Chinese government steals technology from American companies.
Yeah, thank you. Mr. Bezos? Yeah.
Go ahead, sir, go ahead.
You're on mute.
Mr. Bezos, I believe you're on mute.
I'm sorry. I have heard many reports of that, and I haven't seen it personally, but I've heard many reports of it.
So of all the different products that Amazon carries, you haven't seen that in any of the companies that sell products on Amazon or your company yourself?
Oh, well, certainly there are knockoff products, if that's what you mean, and there are counterfeit products and all of that. But the Chinese, if the answer is the Chinese government stealing technology, that's the thing I've read reports of.
Yeah, so good for him for giving that answer, by the way. I think that's very, very important. So, you know, some of the other moments yesterday that were a little bit crazy, Pennsylvania Representative Mary Gay Scanlon, she accused Representative Jim Jordan of peddling conspiracy theories. So, you know, one of the questions that Jim Jordan has been raising is, are these tech companies purposely directing content so that they're purposely now trying to lead you down a certain road, either with search results or content that they promote versus what they don't promote, algorithms that keep certain ideas suppressed. And none of that's okay, by the way. Again, in the marketplace of ideas, either everything is out there for you or nothing's out there for you. Are they pushing information towards you that they want you to see? That is the question right now. So Jim Jordan makes a point. I'm going to play you, first of all, this is what Jim Jordan said yesterday in his opening, that big tech is out to get conservatives. Cut number 2.
I'll just cut to the chase. Big tech's out to get conservatives. That's not a suspicion. That's not a hunch. That's a fact. July 20th, 2020, Google removes the homepages of Breitbart and the Daily Caller. Just last night, we learned Google has censored Breitbart so much traffic has declined 99%. June 16th, 2020, Google threatens to demonetize and ban the Federalists. April 19th, 2020, Google and YouTube announce a policy censoring the content that conflicts with recommendations of the World Health Organization. Now think about that. The World Health Organization, the organization that lied to us, the organization that shielded for China. And if you contradict something they say, they can say whatever they want. They can lie for China. They can shield for China. You say something against them, you get censored. June 29, 2020, Amazon bans President Trump's account on Twitch after he raises concerns about defunding the police. June 4, 2020, Amazon bans a book critical of the coronavirus lockdowns written by a conservative commentator. May 27, 2020, Amazon Smile won't let you give to the Family Research Council and the Alliance Defense Fund, but you can give to Planned Parenthood. Facebook, June 19th, 2020, takes down posts from President Trump's reelection campaign. November 1st, 2018, Facebook silences a pro-life organization's advertisement. May 19th, 2016, former Facebook employees admit Facebook routinely suppresses conservative views. And I haven't even mentioned Twitter, who we actually invited. Mr. Chairman, we asked for you guys to invite them as one of our witnesses. You guys said no. I haven't even mentioned them 2 years ago. They shadow banned two members of this committee.
So the shadow banning becomes a big thing that people talk about quite a bit. So after that, by Jim Jordan, Representative Mary Gay Scanlon of Pennsylvania, and then this goes crazy off the rails here. Cut number three.
Silence conservatives, and can you assure us today you're not going to try to configure your features as Ms. Murillo said you did for Clinton in 16? Can you assure us today you're not going to do the same thing for Joe Biden in 2020?
You know, you have my commitment. It's always been true, and we'll continue to conduct ourselves in a neutral way.
Appreciate it. Yield back.
The chair now recognizes the gentlelady from Pennsylvania, Ms. Scanlon.
Thank you, gentlemen. I'd like to redirect your attention to antitrust law rather than fringe conspiracy theories. Mr. Bezos, our investigation...
Mr. Chairman, we have the email. There is no fringe...
Excuse me, it's not your time.
Mr. Jordan, you do not have the time. Please be respectful of your colleague.
Someone directly,
she controls
directly,
the time.
Directly.
Put your mask on. Put your mask on.
Mr. Jordan.
Mr. Raskin.
Mr. Jordan.
We want to talk about masks.
Mr. Jordan, Ms. Scanlon.
Why would the Deputy Secretary of Treasury unmask Michael Flynn's name, Mr.
Raskin?
And what I want to know is,
Scanlon,
when someone comes after my motives for asking questions, I get a chance to respond.
The gentlelady is recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, that was nuts. Put on your mask. Put on your mask. That was craziness right there. That's your Congress, ladies and gentlemen. That's your House of Representatives. House of Scoundrels, as they call it. Here's a little bit of a montage that they put together of some of the craziest moments from the last couple days that they had going on here on these hearings. And, you know, I think it's kind of funny, too. I always love the idea of actually, do I see that on here? Greg, do we have that one?
It wasn't a montage. It wasn't a montage. It was a compilation of clips we played. We have on the list of clips we played yesterday. It wasn't a montage.
Oh, is it a clip though that I need to reference here?
No.
Okay.
You played all of them today and yesterday.
Okay. All right. Just let me know that it's not going to be there, so I don't think that's going to be there. You know what I mean? Then I don't ask for it. Does that make sense?
Sure.
You're right, Craig. You're right today.
Yeah.
Low energy
yeah.
today. You're right.
Yeah. No. I'm fine.
Just lack of sleep getting you?
No. It's not. I just, you know, no. It wasn't on the cut sheet, so I would, whatever.
Didn't know, but I thought it would be on the cut sheet because I sent you the cut. So then I assumed it would be on the cut sheet because I
there
sent it to you. So if
there
it's not on the cut sheet, then you should say it's not on the cut
though.
Sheet.
There wasn't one cut though. It was like five cuts. Three of them we are on the cut sheet today. Two of them we played yesterday.
Honestly, it's like college radio in someone's dorm in a freaking, like, you got to move the antenna to get a signal. That's what I feel like right now. That's what I feel like at this moment. I'm going on strike. I am. I'm going to go on strike. The hell with it.
Start doing your shows just exclusively on Facebook video. That's what we'll
and
do.
And Zuckerberg will take it down because dangerous.
Yes, exactly right.
He'll take it down, that jerk. He'll take it down.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
All right, so let's see now. As I think I've got everything pretty much covered here, the only other thing I would mention to you before I go to Dawn's News is that in New Jersey, there's a bill which would mandate that schools don't open on time in physical schooling, that it would just be virtual. And Democrat sponsors, so we'll see if Governor Murphy will finally capitulate to them. That is the question. Will he be able to stand up to them? We'll find out. 855-839-1210 is our number. 855-839-1210. Dawn, good morning. What's going on today? What's cooking?
Good morning. 79 degrees with an air quality alert. This is the Yoli Show News Live. So trending on Twitter, real quick here, an earthquake rattled Los Angeles residents this morning. The first one estimated at 4.3 magnitude hit the city, followed by a second shake registered at 3.3. So a lot of celebs, you know, tweeting that out and so on and so forth. But we don't have major injuries, thank goodness, reported. COVID-19 news, the FDA opening the door and apparently fast-tracking rapid at-home screening for COVID-19. Many are calling this a game changer. If you could be like a, you know, think of like a pregnancy home test. You don't have to go to the doctor. You don't have to have symptoms. You could, but they're a little more expensive. But the FDA has not approved any home screening tests, which so far many of the companies say are very accurate and people could do this at home. We have six people under arrest right now accused of vandalizing Pennsylvania State Trooper cars along the Vine Street Expressway during the night of unrest, vandalism and looting. This is Center City back in May during all those peace protests. And we always hear about the peaceful protesters. So not all of them were peaceful, obviously, in Philadelphia and around the country. State police say this group in particular used skateboards, a hammer, a scooter, bike locks and pry bars, and severely damaged two trooper cars that were along the Vine Street there near Broad. So and they also say they spray painted them. This group of teenage guys and young men, they are mostly from the suburbs. So they're under arrest facing charges this morning. And finally, a shout out to a hometown hero. We don't do this enough because there are so many police officers out there who are doing great things. But this is a family in the Northeast, and they're really thanking this police officer who they say went above and beyond the call of duty after their loved one was hit by a truck and actually died in the roadway. So last Tuesday, 80-year-old Mary Alice McGrath was crossing the intersection to go home. She'd lived in that neighborhood all of her life. Officer Lynch actually laid on the burning pavement with Mrs. McGrath. She'd been struck by this vehicle in a horrible accident. He laid there on that hot pavement during a heat wave for 30 minutes just to keep her comfortable. And as the rescue crews arrived, it was too late, unfortunately, by the time they got her to the hospital. But just a story that choked me up and just, you know, the family just...
Very nice story. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you to
very
Officer good. Lynch for sure. So we do have the NBA. Oh, and by the way, Philadelphia Eagles right tackle Lane Johnson testing positive for the coronavirus. So he tweeted out that he feels strong. He's ready to go. So he'll follow all the rules, but he wants to get back to play as soon as possible. So it looks like the Eagles move forward. They're in camp. And you've heard by now that the Phils, they had not a teammate test positive, but another staffer, so they're going to push back the game. It was supposed to be Friday night. Now it'll be Saturday. And that brings me to the NBC 10 First Alert forecast. Today, the last day of this hot, you know, this heat wave, 94 degrees, mostly sunny. But tomorrow, we're going to cool off big time, 78 degrees, a 90% chance of rain. And then Saturday, the weekend, really 87 degrees. And yes, some chances for some spotty showers, but not a washout by any measure. So I'm Dawn. This is Yoli Show News Live. We are always on the radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. You know, there was that shark attack, right? The fatal shark attack off Maine.
Yes.
You know who's at fault for that, right?
Who?
The government.
How could? Okay.
So I saw this in the New York Post yesterday. There's a federal law from the 1970s that led to a booming seal population, which is likely to blame in the fatal great white shark attack in Maine. So the seal population, the sharks eat seals, you know, which is why I have my new product Beyond Seal, which I'm hoping to try to convince the shark community to try. So the seal population along the Northeast coast has been thriving since the passage of the 1972 Marine Mammal Protection Act. So that makes it illegal to harass, hunt, capture, or kill the marine animals up there. Officials believe that the great white that killed victim Julie Holowatch, 63 years old, may have mistaken her for a seal because she was wearing a black wetsuit. Experts also slapped down the notion that the killer great white shark came closer to the shore because of the warm waters. Toby Curtis, who's a fishery management specialist at NOAA, He said, understanding the effects of climate change on fish populations, including sharks, is an emerging area of study and a priority for NOAA. But there is currently no evidence that that white sharks or other species are spending more or less time near shore as a result of warming waters. There's also no reason to suspect warming waters would bring more white sharks to the region. They are already here. Great whites have been popping up along the Maine coast for years. Sharks, meanwhile, are protected by the 2011 Shark Conservation Act, which strengthens the ban on shark finning. You can't cut off their fins and then throw them back into the water. The fins can fetch as $500 a pound, and they're used in shark fin soup, which is where they eat in, you want to guess? China. Yeah, it's a status symbol in China to have shark fin soup. So, you know, just saying.
But sharks are amazing because they don't seem to carry any of these parasites or diseases. They're actually a prehistoric, you know, creature or whatever. They don't get cancer.
Yeah, unless they smoke and then they get cancer, but lung cancer. But, you know.
We did have that 10-plus foot big great white shark off of Cape May, off of Atlantic City.
Yeah, that shark is actually coming for chemo treatments. go figure. It's amazing, right?
Stop.
It's always an anomaly in nature. It's, but at least he has good medical care. You know, he's going to Cooper, so expect to see him in the Delaware River later today. So there's all these friggin' seals up there, you know, because they're all protected and they keep reproducing. And then the sharks come to eat the seals. And then, you know, the shark, he doesn't know any better. He sees this shadow and he thinks it's a seal and he eats it and it's a person. So there you go.
Yeah,
so
well,
we can blame the government for protecting seals. What's that now?
Well, nobody's swimming there. Like everybody's out of the, you know, they've said nobody in the water.
Yeah, I miss pre-coronavirus days for so many reasons. But one of them was the way the media would play up shark bites and shark attacks as like it's imminent. Like you go in the water, you're definitely going to get eaten by a great white shark, you know?
Yes.
We had a whole summer of shark bites. You remember that? It was a couple years ago. I remember doing radio with Maz back then about the summer of shark bites. And I remember how prevalent they were. It was like you turn on TV. It was like, tonight, do not go in the water. Shark bites are everywhere. One person got bit on the East Coast, you know. From Maine to Georgia, sharks have been biting one person.
Yeah, it's pretty rare.
Yeah.
Right?
And stay off the coast of Florida, where we think somebody may get bit any moment now.
Well, no.
And they act like that, you know. And they track these sharks, and they act like the sharks are, like, you know, like they're next to your boat. Like, they're going to be like, hey, what's up? You got any chum for me? I'm starving down here. The sharks are hundreds of feet off of the coast, you know.
Usually.
When they're tracking them. But
usually,
the way they act, though, is like a shark's going to wind up, like, building a sandcastle with you. You know what I mean? They're like, we're tracking this shark off the coast of Atlantic City. Yeah, he's 500 meters out in the ocean. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, you turn around and go, look, a great white shark just washed up on shore. Do we push him back in? What do we do?
Like Bruce and Nemo. Isn't that his name?
Yes.
He's very misunderstood. He's a shark. Very misunderstood.
Don't shark shame.
Fish are friends, not food.
Stop shark shaming. Exactly. Stop shark shaming. All right. We got more to cover, including the 2020 election. And the president is getting heat over his comments about Russia paying bounties to kill American troops. But as the president points out, the Bush administration also dismissed that as nonsense. So why isn't that part of the story? Straight ahead.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.